Welcome to our legal podcast with Missouri Press Association Hotline Attorney Jean Manicky. This is Dawn Kitchell, Education Director for Missouri Press, and today Jean's guest is Harry Gallagher, a legislative lobbyist with Gallagher Consultants. For more than 30 years, Harry has represented Missouri Press in Jefferson City on issues such as open government, sunshine law, and other business legislation that affects the newspaper industry. Today, Harry and Jean will walk our listeners through the complicated process of Missouri lawmaking, from how a bill is formed all the way to when it lands on the governor's desk for a signature. Jean Manicky has served as a Missouri Press legal hotline attorney since 1992. Her firm, the Manicky Law Group, is based in Kansas City, Missouri. Now here's Jean's conversation with Harry.
Harry, thanks so much for joining us today. This is the perfect time for us to be discussing legislative matters because we're going to be right up against the start of the legislative session. Can you talk a little bit about how the process runs from, let's say, the time that a bill is first filed? When are bills first filed, and when does the legislative session actually start? Let's begin there.
The bills can be pre-filed beginning on December the 1st of each year. The General Assembly comes into session by constitutional mandate on the first Wednesday after the first Monday of January each year. Mm-hmm. And the sessions are basically, they used to be a different length. They're now basically the same length.
And they run until mid-May sometimes?
May 30th is constitutional adjournment. They do adjourn sine die on the first Friday after the second Monday, I believe is the constitution.
Okay. And so as bills are pre-filed, where did those bills come from?
Well, each member of the House of Representatives and the Senate can file bills, and there is no limit on the number of bills they can file. And there's actually typically very little limit on how long into the session they can file them. But sometimes the Senate will set a deadline of usually mid-March. But in an emergency, the bill can still be filed on the last day. The committees in Missouri, there can be a committee substitute, and it can, if like three or four or five bills that all pertain to the same subject matter can be put into what they call a House committee substitute or a Senate committee substitute, and then it becomes a bill. It can be amended on the floor. Right now, the rules do not allow for a floor substitute in the House, but a floor substitute can be filed in place of a bill after the bill has been called up by the majority leader, and that has the status of an amendment, not a bill, but it is called a Senate substitute bill.
Let me go back, Harry, to the process of a bill being heard. Let's say you have a bill and it's, I assume the first thing that happens is it's scheduled before a committee, correct?
Yes.
And that bill can be consolidated.
Well, first it's assigned to a committee, and that is by subject matter. And for example, a bill dealing with the legal system would go to the judiciary committee.
Harry, when a bill is filed, and we talked about it being assigned to a committee, who actually makes the assignment of a bill to the committee?
In the House, the Speaker of the House makes all the assignments of bills. In the Senate, the President pro tem makes all assignments to committee.
And so those people have a lot of control over how a bill progresses.
They certainly do.
And then that committee takes up this bill, or maybe, as you mentioned earlier, it's a consolidated bill. And they have hearings on it, correct?
Yes.
And sometimes people come down and testify for those, right?
Yes.
And I assume they're welcome. They welcome people to come and testify if it's of interest to them.
Yes, they do.
Okay. So then after the bill is heard by the committee, what does the committee do with the bill?
The committee has the option of doing nothing. If there is a motion by one of the members of the committee to vote the bill out of committee, do pass, or they can vote a bill out of committee, do not pass. then that motion requires a second, and then the chairman will call for a vote on it. Many times, bills are not, even after there have been a hearing has been held on them, no motion is made to bring it out of committee, so the bill basically dies at that point. But in order to come out of the committee, it has to have a motion of a member of the committee. The sponsor of the bill likely will not be a member of the committee, so he just sits there and waits to see if there is a motion.
And when the committee votes on the bill, what percentage of the committee has to vote to send it out of the committee?
50% plus one.
So then when they're voted do pass out of the committee, then they go to the legislative floor of whichever house we're talking about, correct?
Rules are different in each house. The current rule in the Missouri House is before they can go to the floor, they need to go through the Rules Committee, and that is a must now, or the bill dies. The Rules Committee considers the bill. They give a time limit of floor debate, then bring it out, or they decide that they don't want to let it go to the floor. So the chairman of the Rules Committee and the members are very powerful in the House. In the Senate, they go directly from committee to the floor, unless they have a fiscal note. Same thing in the House. If they have fiscal note of over $100,000, then they must go through another committee, which determines whether the state can afford to pay the bill.
This is interesting. I think our listeners are going to begin to understand what a complicated process this is to get from the beginning of forming a bill to even getting to a hearing on the floor. So once it gets to the floor, then there's debate, I assume, correct?
Typically there would be debate, yes.
Is there any kind of limit on time that a bill can be debated on the floor of either of the legislative chambers?
There is not in the Senate. The Senate has the free and full debate on bills. In the House, when the bill clears the Rules Committee to go to the floor, the Rules Committee, if there's to be a time limit, they set the time limit, and those usually are set on controversial bills only. That if it's a fairly routine bill, they do not put a time limit on it.
And then eventually they get to the point, hopefully, of taking a vote on the bill, correct?
The first time the bill goes to the floor, in some states, it's called second reading. In Missouri, it's called perfection. Mm-hmm. The bill can be amended by floor amendment and that provision, and that goes to a committee called Bills Perfected and Printed, and then comes back to the floor. It has to be 24 hours before it can come back to the floor, for what is called third reading and final passage, and that then it is sent to the other house.
Okay, and then it starts all over again on the other side, correct?
Starts all over, yes.
With committee hearings and the whole process.
The bill that has passed the House of Origin goes through a committee hearing. It doesn't have the perfection process, is the only difference. And once it goes to the floor, it can be amended on the third reading process. And if it is third read, if it is amended, it's sent back to the House of Origin for determination if they will agree to the amendments. And if there are no amendments, it goes to the governor for approval or veto.
And in the midst of this process, there is a conference committee, correct, between the two legislative chambers?
If there is a difference between the House and the Senate and they cannot agree on the amendments, then a conference committee of five members from each house is appointed, and they take it to conference, try to work it out, and if they do, it's called the conference committee report. It goes back to the floor of if it is a House bill, it would go to the House first, and then to the Senate for approval of the conference report.
Now, sometimes we have bills, I know in terms of dealing with our Sunshine Law bills, sometimes we've had a bill pending both in the House and the Senate at the same time, correct?
Yes, that happens frequently.
And in those kinds of cases, I assume it's kind of just a matter of waiting until we see which bill actually is moving the fastest, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I assume that's that way many times when you're dealing with legislative bills.
Yes, we had typically a subject that is on the minds of one person is typically something that's, you know, a current idea that a lot of people have. So sometimes there'll be, if it's something that's getting a lot of media attention, you might have 10 or 15 bills filed on the same subject.
Sure.
For example, in the Congress right now, health care, you know, if we had a big health, we always have big health bills in Missouri, so there are typically 10 or 11 of those.
When the bill is finally passed by both sides of the Missouri legislature, at that point it goes to the governor, correct?
Yes.
And what does the governor, what options does the governor have?
Well, if the governor gets the bill 15 days before the end of the session, he has to act. I think he has 15 days to act. If the bill, typically most of the bills arrive on the governor's desk in the last 2 weeks, so that generally is not a problem. And the governor has until, he has 45 days from constitutional adjournment, which is July 14th always. May 30th is constitutional adjournment, and the bill, would, if he would sign it, unless there is a special effective date or an emergency clause, the bill becomes effective, becomes law on August the 28th.
Right. And if he vetoes it, then what happens?
He vetoes it. It is sent back to the House of Origin and with the reasons for the veto. And then in September, there is a 10-day veto session, at which time the sponsor of the bill can make the determination if he wants to try to override the veto. It takes a two-thirds vote in each house to override a veto, and those are pretty rare, overriding a veto. That's happens about once every 20 years.
You know, Harry, I know you've watched this a lot over the years, and one of the things you mentioned I want to go back and touch on one time. You mentioned that a lot of these bills come out at the very end. I assume that's really true, that even though the legislative process starts in January, that very seldom are there a lot of bills that come out until the last few weeks. Is that correct?
That's correct. The General Assembly, of course, handles the state budget. That's the most important job they have, and they work on that. That has to be passed a week before the end of the sine die adjournment day, which is usually about the 10th of May, that it would have to pass. And this is very crucial, because if that doesn't happen, it means the governor has to call a special session, and they start all over again with the budget. One of the reasons that those bills all pile up at the end of the session is just simply because they have to go from one house to the other, and the process we discussed a few minutes ago all has to be repeated in each house. And if, you know, the only bills that have a very high emergency, if there's some type of, for example, maybe like the flu vaccine or something like that might be an emergency to where it has to pass in March or April. But typically most of the bills pass in May, late April and May.
We've been talking about bills that are passed and bills that are introduced, and my guess is there are thousands of bills introduced every year and only a few passed. Do you have any perspective on how many bills there actually are? That
each session, there's typically between 1,500 and 2,000 bills passed by both houses. There are more bills introduced in the, not passed, introduced in, I misspoke.
Sure.
Introduced, the House introduces about twice as many as the Senate, and
wow,
that there are 163 members of the House and 34 members of the Senate, so that sort of explains the reason for that.
And how many would you guess are passed each year?
About 10%.
About
150 would typically be the number. Most of those would deal with state government housekeeping.
I see.
I think there are like 21 or so appropriations bills, and many, many bills that deal with state agencies and just
housekeeping,
little things of bringing the state up to date for what's happened in the last year.
Sure. So the odds of any one particular bill being passed are not great unless it's of significant interest or significant importance in state law.
I would agree with that statement.
Okay. What are some reasons that bills don't pass? Can you give our listeners some understanding about why certain bills either get bogged down or abandoned in this process?
Controversy, and typically controversy comes from somebody. Current issue that's been current for as long as I've been around, and that's abortion.
Sure.
On many health bills, an abortion amendment will get on the bill.
That's a hot topic.
There are, you know, very strong opinions on both sides of the issue, and that would be one that comes to mind.
Sure.
Another has to do with safety.
Sure.
Auto safety and auto insurance and things of that, where there's some strong opinions on
sure.
both sides.
Well, and you mentioned a minute ago, I hadn't thought of this until just now, but the fiscal notes that are on bills. I assume if a bill has a huge fiscal note, and maybe I need to explain to our listeners that that is where the government gives legislators an estimate of the cost of whatever the bill provides for. So if you've got a bill that is going to cost a tremendous amount to implement, that would be a high fiscal note, right?
Yes, and depending on the how flush the state is with money in any given year, the tighter things are with money, the more likely a bill that has a high fiscal note will get hung up and not pass.
Sure. Explain one other thing to our listeners. I hear people talk about filibusters a lot, and I think we need to explain to them what that means.
That only can occur in the Missouri Senate. The House has limits on floor time, and debate can be cut off. In the Senate, there is no limit on floor time. Once a senator gets the floor, he can keep the floor from the beginning till the end of the session.
Wow.
Unless there is cloture, and that can be done, it can be done with 18 votes, or it can be done with 23 votes. 23 is two-thirds majority.
Sure.
Typically, 18 will do it, and it's a rare occasion, however, that the senators will stop a filibuster.
And a senator might use a filibuster to buy time to persuade people to vote in the way he or she wants them to vote, I assume?
It would serve that purpose, and it would also, due to the fact that the General Assembly only meets for 5 months a year, they cannot waste 3 to 4 days with a filibuster, that means a number of bills won't pass, and it might hold the budget up or other delays. Any time if a serious filibuster takes place, it frequently will kill the bill under consideration.
Sure, I understand. So they would just put it aside and move on to something else.
Yes.
Then. Last, I want to address the issue of what role our listeners today can play if Missouri Press has a bill that it is watching that it needs support from its members on. What do you suggest our members do when a bill like that comes up?
Well, we would just assume that 99% of the time that our members would agree that it's a good bill.
Sure.
Or sometimes it's a bad bill. We might ask them to speak to their legislators against.
And what
but
should
they should
do?
Contact their local senator or House member and discuss it with them and explain to them the reasons why it's a good bill or a bad bill.
Sure.
And should develop, and I'm sure most of them do, develop a good relationship with their local legislator. It is very helpful to have that kind of a relationship that you can discuss these matters, and it's many times will be the difference between a bill passing or not, the local grassroots support.
And I assume that could be phone calls or emails or personal visits, any of those.
Having coffee in the morning or visit to the legislator's office or home.
Great. Well, thanks, Harry. I appreciate you being here today with us.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks to Harry Gallagher, Missouri Press Association's legislative consultant, for joining Gene in this program to discuss the basics of the Missouri legislative process. You know, a valuable benefit of membership in the Missouri Press Association is the Legal Hotline services. Active members may contact Gene directly for advice and answers to any legal issues. Gene can be reached by telephone at 816-753-9000 or by email at jmanicky@manickylaw.com. You can find this contact information anytime on the Missouri Press Association website at www.mopress.com. The website also provides links to Gene's blog and current and back issues of Missouri Press News Magazine. This is Dawn Kitchell. Join us next month for another legal podcast from the Missouri Press Foundation.